Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our guest is Dr. Ann Fischel. She is the author of Home for Dinner and director of the Family and Couples Therapy Program at Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Fisher, I was going to ask you about, you mentioned that, you know, we want to create activists, and the dinner table is a great place for that. How do we do that, and how do we create activists that are healthy?
This is something that I have been thinking about just in the last couple of years, because it sort of occurred to me that food is such a connector to everybody else and also to issues around environmentalism and health and food scarcity and all kinds of social justice issues. So I think there are a lot of ways to do this. One way is to think of food as kind of a passport to other countries. And just by cooking food from other countries, it's a way of talking about other cultures with your kids. Or in a more direct way, inviting people from other cultures to your family dinner and asking things like, what do you eat when you don't feel well, or what are comfort foods in your country, or what are the foods that you have for your big family celebrations, and who is considered family, who comes to those celebrations. So that's one way. And then there are ways to talk about food waste and the connection of food waste to environmental issues. So, for example, if we ate one quarter less of beef each week, that would be the equivalent of taking something like 8 million cars off the road in terms of global gas emissions. And we waste so much food, you know, 40% of the food that's grown in North America is thrown out, and $2,000 a year of food for a family of four is thrown out. So that can be a starting point for saying to one's own family, what can we do as a family to waste less food? Could we brainstorm some meals we could make out of leftovers? Could we challenge the expire-by dates on milk cartons and eggs and bread and so on that really encourage people to throw out food before one really needs to? Why not buy foods that are cosmetically challenged but perfectly fine, because those are some of the foods that are thrown out, ugly-looking foods, but they're perfectly good. So these are all things that can be discussed. Composting, you know, small children can be encouraged to compost and get involved in recycling food that way, or just recycling in general. Gardening is another way that kids can get involved, and partaking in gardening is also a way to develop more interest in eating fresh vegetables and fruits if you've tended them and, you know, planted them and watered them. It makes kids much more likely to want to eat them. Of course, that's true throughout the cooking process. Anytime that you can get kids involved in choosing the foods or growing the foods or cooking the foods, they become stakeholders and are much more likely to eat the food. So those are some ideas of starting at the table and extending to the wider world.
Just creating an environment where people, where the kids can ask questions or ask questions of society, I guess.
Right. Even asking, you know, let's figure out how many people it took to bring this macaroni and cheese to the table. You know, and there might be 20 people who were involved. Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Now, I was going to ask you, because you work a lot with families and counseling, they're obviously having some communication issues. What's your take on the devices, cell phones, tablets, those kind of things at the dinner table?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's asking, I guess you are, I would say best to leave those off the table, you know, put them in a cabinet or leave them in another room before you come to the dinner table, because if we have devices at the table, then they're competing for our attention. And, you know, I think dinner time is when we want our kids and the other adults at the table to feel that these are the people that really matter. And when you're distracted by tweets and emails that come in, it looks like you're interested in people who aren't at the table rather than the family members who are at the table. So that would be my main suggestion. And I recently did a study with a colleague of mine at Mass General, Tristan Garindo, and we found that twice as many parents as kids report using screens and gadgets at the table as their kids do.
Interesting.
So that was kind of a surprising finding, and suggests that parents really need to lead the way here, and kids are not going to put their phones away unless parents do it first.
Why are kids picky eaters?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think there are a lot of reasons, and the pickiness is a peaks at certain developmental times. So it's most prominent between ages 4 and 8, which is why it's a really good idea to introduce your kids to lots of different fruits and vegetables and other foods before 4, before pickiness kind of sets in. But sensitivity or pickiness tends to be mostly genetic, and only a little bit environmental. So there's certainly things that parents can do to try to counteract it. But if you have a child who's very particular about what they eat, it may be that they're kind of hardwired for that.
Are there some techniques that we can use to you know, for a parent to get our kids to eat better?
Yes. So, you know, one thing I think is not to get too bent out of shape about it, to apply the rule of 15, which is what nutritionists recommend, which is to keep introducing a food at least 15 times before you give up on it. And that's the idea that familiarity kind of breeds acceptance. You know, it turns out that the foods that mothers ate while they were pregnant, kids prefer when they're babies and later on. And it's almost as though, well, it is as though they tasted them before, because the flavors cross the amniotic, get into the amniotic fluid. But they're familiar, and I think that's why kids like the foods that their mothers ate when they were pregnant with them. So that's one thing, is familiarity. Another thing is, it turns out not to be a good idea to reward kids with dessert for the food that you want them to eat. So best not to say, eat your broccoli and then you can have ice cream, because what that does is makes the broccoli really unattractive. Probably a good idea to eat family style and to model eating with great gusto to, you know, show that you're really enjoying food. And probably to have some nice, trusty food that you know your kids like, kind of anchoring the plate when you add a new food. So, again, there's familiarity.
Dr. Fischel, you know, one of the things that people might say about sitting down at dinner is that it takes time. Have there been any studies on how long it actually takes?
Well, there's a There was a study that found that the average American dinner is 22 minutes. Mm. And, you know, I think it varies greatly how long it takes to cook a dinner, partly how much help you get, and whether you're willing to use some shortcuts.
Was that 22 minutes to cook the dinner or 22 minutes to sit down and eat it?
Yeah. 22 minutes to eat it. So, you know, I have recipes I can make in 10 or 15 minutes and others that might take me an hour. My book has about 40 recipes in it, most of which take less than 30 minutes. So that to me is sort of the gold standard for a busy parent is no more than 30 minutes. And
Dr. Fishel,
I
was going to say that we're right out of time, so I'm just wondering if you can just give your book a plug, tell people where they can get it, and about the publisher as well.
Sure. It's called Home for Dinner, Mixing Food, Fun, and Conversation for a Happier Family and Healthier Kids. It's available online, and it's also available at my publisher, Amacom.
Dr. Fishel, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Oh, it's been great being here. Thank you.
Thank you. The book, again, is called Home for Dinner, and the author is Dr. Ann Fishel. Just wanted to say that that's it for the show today. I want to thank you for listening. Thank Garrett Perry, our producer, Reg Fair, and producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Thank you for listening. Have a great, healthy week.